1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're still in chapter 15. And as long as Paul keeps talking about it, I'm going to keep talking about it. We're going to pick up verse 29. The subject is, of course, the resurrection. Today we answer the question of why. Why do you do what you do? Why did you come today? Why do you act like you act? Why do you, literally, spiritually speaking, why do you do what you do? It's probably based upon what you believe about Jesus Christ. Will you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29. The subject here is the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of believers. And he comes to a point here in verse 29 where he asks the question, why? Verse 29 says, otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead do not rise at all, why then are they baptized for the dead? Why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with the beast at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we may die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today asking for your guidance and your understanding as we look at your word. Father, open our hearts and our minds. Help us, Lord, not only to understand, but help us to take it personally. And I pray, Lord, you will speak through your word. To you be all glory and praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I said before, this chapter, this whole entire chapter 15 is about the resurrection and the truth of the resurrection. The reason Paul spends so much time on this subject is because a heresy had entered the church. For some reason, some way, it had entered into the church that there was no resurrection of the dead. Now, can you imagine how that would let the air out of the balloon, right? See, everything we do is based upon there is a resurrection. Because Jesus rose, we're going to live. And we look forward to that day of when life's better. Even on our best day, we look forward to that day when life's better. Maybe I could say eternal life is better, right? Everything, but I want you to understand, everything that we believe, everything that we practice, hangs upon the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of believers. If there is no resurrection, everything you believe about Jesus is a lie. Boy, how sad that would be. But there is a resurrection. Not only did Jesus rise from the grave, if you are a believer, if you have given yourself to Jesus Christ, I have good news for you. As Michael put it this morning, Sunday's coming, your resurrection day's coming. And today we're going to answer the questions of why. Why? Why do I do this? Why do I put myself out there? Why do I serve like I serve? And first question we're going to answer is why be baptized? Now, Paul writes this. It's very interesting in the translation. And I'm going to do my best to break it down in just a moment. But in verse 29, he says, what will they who are baptized for the dead if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? Now, I don't know about you, but all kinds of bells and whistles go off in my mind when I read that. What, were they being baptized for the dead? And some believe that somehow in the church at Corinth it had crept in that they thought they could be baptized vicariously on behalf of somebody who was already dead. And so if somebody before that, somebody who was already dead could make it into heaven, if somebody else could be baptized on their behalf and they would get into heaven. That's Mormonism. And I do not believe that's the idea of this scripture, okay? But this scripture is where the Mormons get that belief. They believe that you can be baptized for your old evil uncle so he can get into heaven. Listen, if you don't take care of salvation while you're on this earth, it's too late after you die. But we have to figure out what Paul was talking about here. Paul asked the question, why be baptized for the dead? First thing we have to understand is one small little word in there, and that word is the three-letter word for. Why be baptized for the dead? Now, that's a preposition in the Greek, and I'm not going to take you through a long, drawn-out thing, but that little preposition can be translated in about 50 different ways. Okay? It can be translated for. It can be translated for the sake of, on the behalf of, in the name of, or because of, and you can just keep adding to that, right? Now, so what we've got to do to get an understanding of what this text is saying is we have to put it in context. The context of this entire thing is, of course, that Jesus rose from the grave, right? And so, in that context, instead of for being a good translation, right, because of, right there. So why would you be baptized because of the dead, right? And the second thing, well, the dead that it's referring to, when you say why would you be baptized because of the dead, who are the dead that it's talking about? It's talking about Jesus. If Jesus were dead, if he did not rise from the grave, there would be absolutely no reason for you to be baptized. I mean, what a beautiful picture it paints of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I was so encouraged to see Miss Chloe follow the Lord in baptism today. But I want you to understand that is much bigger than just some church ceremony thing. That is a public declaration of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when Paul said being baptized for the dead or being baptized because of the dead, he's referring to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus, after 3 days, came out of that grave. And today we follow the Lord in baptism to declare not that he's dead, but we declare that Jesus is alive through the baptism. Awesome thing. But can you imagine if Jesus were not alive? Would you be baptized? Absolutely not. I mean, what can you imagine what a baptism would be if Jesus had not risen from the grave? You just take them and you get them in that baptistry. And, you know, when we lay them down, it represents the death of Jesus. When we lift them up, it represents the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus had not risen, we'd just lay them down and hold them under. That'd be a pretty cool picture, wouldn't it? People would be shouting, let him up, let him up. I can't. There's no resurrection of the dead. See, it wouldn't work. That's Paul's point. We're baptized because of Jesus Christ, who is alive and well. And see, not only is it the motivation for our baptism, it's the motivation for everything we do. I preach because Jesus is alive. I endure the hardship of this life because Jesus is alive. I keep pressing forward because I know one day, because Jesus lives, I too am going to live. You see, not only are we baptized because of the dead, or Jesus is not dead, right? Because of Jesus. But we live in jeopardy. Paul asked the second question, why would I live in jeopardy? Verse 30, why do I stand in jeopardy every hour? Why in the world would I put myself out there the way I do, is what Paul is saying. Do you realize every hour that Paul lived, his life was in danger? Every morning when he got out of bed, he did not know if he'd see the sunset of that particular day. Give you a few examples. Acts chapter 9, Paul preached boldly in Jerusalem, it says, and they had to smuggle him out of town because there was a plot to kill him. You go on to Acts chapter 13, he was expelled from the city of Antioch. How would you like to be expelled from a city because of your preaching? Acts 14, When Paul was in Iconium, the Jews had a plan to stone him. But the other disciples of Jesus, they snuck him out of town. Oh, but it wasn't over. Later part of Acts chapter 14 in Lystra, the Jews from Iconium came over to Lystra and they did stone Paul and left him for dead. See, this was his life. In verse 31, when he says, "I died daily," what he's saying is, "I face death every day." Now, the question is this. Why would I face death every day if there was no resurrection of the dead? If Jesus was not alive, and if I'm not going to rise from the grave, why would I do this every day? He even took it to the fullest extent possible. And he said, if I fought in the manner of man, verse 32, if I fought with the beast at Ephesus, what advantage is that for me? What in the world is he talking about there? Well, I believe, you know, the common practice of that day was put Christians in the Colosseum and turn the lions loose on them. Now, there are stories, they're not in the Bible, but there are stories that Paul did actually get put in the Colosseum and they turned the lions loose on him. And the same thing happened with him that happened with Daniel. I don't know if that's true or not. It's kind of legend in other writings, right? But whether Paul actually went through that or not, he uses the word if. Right? He says, if in the manner of men I fought with the beast as Ephesus. He says, if I go to the extreme and I'm put in that Colosseum and they turn the lions loose on me, what good would it do if there is no resurrection? You see, Paul, and oftentimes we look at Paul and we describe him and think of him as a super disciple, a superhero of the faith. But the fact was, Paul was the way he was because of the God that he served. It was Jesus that gave Paul his motivation, knowing that Jesus rose from the grave and having that promise that because Jesus lives, he too was going to live. Romans 8:16, I think, is a really good explanation of all that. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says this. First of all, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. If you ever have to ask yourself the question, why do I do what I do? You go to Romans chapter 8 and read these verses and you'll be encouraged. Number one, because you are a child of God. You have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, not because He died for you, but because He died for you and He rose from the grave. Not only are you a child of God, you have an inheritance. Mind you, have you ever thought about an inheritance? I mean, there are some people that get an inheritance, right? But can you imagine the Bible describing us as having an inheritance and the God, the maker of this universe, being the one that's going to give us our inheritance? Paul did what he did. He would be willing even to go into the Colosseum and let the lions be turned loose because he knew he was a child of God and that he had an inheritance coming to him that when he died, it was a promotion. It wasn't a demotion. And then finally, he knew the last part of Romans chapter 8 that we read there, that the sufferings could not compare to the glory that was ahead. I love that part, don't you? Next time you get to feel it, do you ever get to feeling sorry for yourself? Oh, I've got it so bad. Oh, I feel bad today. I got a headache. This is wrong. That's wrong. My kids don't listen. You know, my parents are out of control. Whatever the case is. Well, next time you get to feeling sorry for yourself, read this verse. Okay? See, this is what it means that Jesus is alive. This life is not all there is. No wonder people are so depressed. If this is all you got, you don't have very much. But glory to God, as a child of God, better things are ahead. And whatever we have to endure today, it will be worth it. I love that song. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Listen, you've got to ask yourself the question today. Why? Why do I do what I do? Why would I chance being rejected by friends and the world and being mocked and being ostracized and not welcomed into the popular crowd? Why would you do that? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is alive. And because He lives, you're going to live. Sometimes I think I know we get too negative. You realize there's always joy for the child of God. I'm in the process of learning this lesson right now. But it don't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you face. If you are a child of God and you embrace the fact of the resurrection that Jesus rose from the dead, and because He lives, you too are going to live, there is joy in knowing that it's going to get better. Are you going through a bad time? Good news, it's going to get better. Are you going through good times? Good news, it's going to get better. There's always joy in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because you know what's coming. Oh, I feel very sorry for those who face death without Jesus. You may be here today. You're a young person, you say, I don't have to worry about that for a long time. Look in the obituaries. Watch the obituaries next week. See how many young people wind up in the obituaries. You see, it's appointed that a man wants to die. That's why you've got to have this joy. And if you're a believer, don't get to holding on to this world so tight that you lose sight of the fact because Jesus lives, you too shall live. There's always joy. Polycarp, I like reading about that man. You realize he was burned at the stake for his faith, right? Repeatedly, time and time and time and time again, he was threatened. And everything that could possibly be done to renounce the name of Jesus Christ and to sacrifice to the Roman gods, right? And so, of course, he refused. And finally, they said, well, we're going to burn you. We just burn you at the stake. So they gathered the wood, piled it up around him, had him tied on to a stake. And he said a prayer right before they lit the fire. And I want to read you that prayer. Okay? That prayer was this. He was praying, I give you thanks that you count me worthy to be numbered among your martyrs, sharing the cup of Christ and the resurrection to eternal life, both of soul and body, through the immortality of the Holy Spirit. May I be received this day as an acceptable sacrifice, as you, the true God, have predestined and revealed to me and now fulfilled. I praise you for all these things, Jesus Christ, your beloved. I praise you for all these things. I bless you and glorify you along with the everlasting Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. And to you, with Him through the Holy Ghost, be glory both now and forevermore. Amen. Can you imagine a man tied to a stake and they're lighting the fire around him and he's giving glory to God that he's counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ? And not just that he's counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ, but that he knows there's an inheritance laid up eternal in the heavens for him. That's how he had that joy. See, sometimes we forget that joy. We get caught up and get to holding on to this life so much, we forget the fact that Jesus is alive. And therein is the smile that should be on our face. Now, if you don't believe that, and Paul brings it down to this point, if there is no resurrection, why not just eat and drink, for tomorrow we're going to die? If this life is all there is, he's saying, you might as well get all you can while you're alive. If you want to live together outside of marriage, go for it. There's no accountability. If you want to, be promiscuous, if you want to lie, cheat, steal, if you, whatever you want to, just go for it. If there is no resurrection. And see, the bad part about that is Christians have bought into that. See, when he says here, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits, that's what he's talking about. He says we're supposed to be different. That's the idea there. And as believers, we don't eat and drink today because tomorrow we die. We serve and glorify God today because tomorrow we have an inheritance. But you see, we as believers, and I keep hearing, and it kind of just, well, it bothers me. Have you ever heard believers say, God loves me just the way I am? And so they just live in your way they want to live. Have you ever heard believers say, I deserve to be happy? God made me this way. And they have this attitude so that there's no difference between them and non-believers. What has happened? They have adopted the attitude of the world, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. It's sad. It's very sad today that the company that we keep determines who we are, and we're not keeping the right company. That's the point. Right? See that word company, when it says don't be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. That word company, it's not just like I know somebody, or you acknowledge somebody in passing. It is a more intimate word. As a matter of fact, in the Greek language, that word was often used to describe the relationship between husband and wife. It's that closeness. Believers have today, I fear, have gotten a little bit too close to the world. And we want what the world wants. And we seek the riches of this earth, and we seek those things that quite honestly are temporary. And we don't understand why we're not happy. You see, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5, 10. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to that which was done, whether good or bad. There's coming a day when we're accountable. And Paul takes it even a step beyond that. He says, awake, there in verse 34. It means come to your senses. Literally, that word means come to your senses. You see, come to your senses and understand the joy is not being part of the world. The joy is having an inheritance eternal in the heavens. The joy for the child of God is knowing where you're going. You see, we're supposed to be a happy people. But we lose our joy when we focus on the wrong thing. Every day that I get up, I should arise giving glory to my Heavenly Father. Right? Why? Because I woke up. And on the day that I don't wake up, I'll be in heaven glorifying my heavenly Father. You see, I think it's time for Christians to adjust our attitudes just a little bit. Quit talking about what everything is wrong. This hurts, that hurts. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. This person did that and I don't like that person. That's always been, just quite honestly. Focus on what you have in Jesus Christ. And if that's your focus, there will not be a frown on your face. Right? Because no matter what you're going through, it's going to get better. But maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me offer you this. You're in trouble. And this isn't the preacher standing up shaking his finger at you. That's not it. I'm just telling you the truth. You're in trouble. Why? Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. You're going to die. And if you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to spend eternity separated from God in hell. Yes, I believe in hell. Just as I believe that, you know, we're accountable. For the non-believer, the only hope you have is faith in Jesus Christ. Today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't give us that wealth. One of these days I'm going to know. All you've got is right here and right now to prepare for eternity. Are you a child of God? If you are a child of God, smile. Smile. I'm going to look every one of you in the eye till you smile. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Last thing. I hadn't said that yet, have I? Last thing. Apostle Paul and Silas are thrown into the deepest part of the prison after they have been beaten. They had a choice to make. And that choice was either sit there and whine and complain and say, "Oh God, why have you done this to me?" Or to praise the God that they had placed their faith in. You know what their choice was? At midnight they were singing praises to God. How could they do that? Because there was a hope in them that extended beyond this life. If you're a child of God, don't be overwhelmed by the circumstances. Don't be fooled by the conditions. Better things await. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that whether we're going through good times or we're going through bad times, we have reason to praise you because this life is not all there is. We give you glory. We give you thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for the hard times, those things that build character, that strengthen our faith. Lord, I just praise you for them. But I praise you most of all that this life is not all there is. That because Jesus died for my sin, and that not only did he die, but he rose from that grave, and because today he lives, we too shall live forevermore. Let us never lose sight of our eternal hope in Jesus Christ. Now we pray your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.